My guest at this time is Roy Innes, National Chairman at the Congress of Racial Equality. We want to get his reaction to the 5-4 Supreme Court decision handed down on Monday in favor of the firefighters in New Haven, Connecticut, who said they were discriminated against because the city threw out their tests that would have led to their promotions in the fire department, but the city rejected all the tests because no African Americans also passed the test and qualified for promotion. Mr. Innes, thank you very much for your time today.
Thank you.
We obviously have a very split Supreme Court in this issue, 5-4. It overturns the decision made at the appellate level and the district court level. Do you believe the Supreme Court made the right decision, and why or why not?
I think they made the right decision, and I would think it was predictable how they would rule. You know, Sandra Day O'Connor in the Richmond construction case with the City Council of Richmond warned that affirmative action cannot be a permanent fixture in law. And she warned that the danger of it becoming a permanent badge of inferiority. The media never highlighted that decision, but while ruling for the minorities in Richmond in that case, she warned that this thing would come to an end.
Mr. Innes, in the dissent, Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg said, Congress endeavored to promote equal opportunity in fact and not simply in form. The damage today's decision does to that objective is untold. She also went on to say that there's a long history of discrimination, specifically in firefighting. How do you react to that?
Well, she did not speak of discrimination in this particular class, this particular group of firefighters. Blacks and whites and Hispanics in Connecticut. She ought to be more specific than that. Sure, there have been discrimination against blacks for decades, centuries, in fact, by now. But you have to establish it as an ongoing situation.
How significant do you believe this decision is in the long term about the type of playing field that should or should not exist in the workplace?
I say that we need to look at factors other than just race, why those men who took that exam were not able to get promoted. Those facts require special tutoring, special training. Let's give that. Let's end this constant cycle of discontent and the cycle of embarrassment that they cannot find qualified, trained, prepared minorities to fill these positions.
Mr. Innes, as you know, a lot of other organizations such as the NAACP and other minority-focused organizations are very upset with this decision today. What do you believe they're missing in their interpretation of affirmative action, their interpretation of racial preferences and overall discrimination?
They forgot what we fought for in the 50s and 60s. They forgot what was the moral imperative of Dr. King and the leaders of the Civil Rights Revolution of the 50s and 60s. They also forgot the warning given by Sandra Day O'Connor that we cannot forever have a system of law based on affirmative action. And secondly, that it should not become a permanent badge of inferiority.
They're
doing an injustice by not being honest about the real problem, by not being honest and forcing the media to discuss in greater details and hearing equally eloquent opposing points of view on this issue. They are doing an injustice to minorities.
You talked about it a moment ago, Mr. Innes, but articulate it again and perhaps elaborate, if you can, on those who say that it's still very much an uphill climb for African Americans and perhaps other minorities. What advice do you have for them in terms of reaching their dreams and reaching their goals on an equal playing field?
I will say I wish that those minorities in Connecticut who took that exam had come to my organization to seek our help. I would have going forward to get the proper kind of preparation and tutoring to prepare them to pass that exam with the highest possible mark. You know, it was significant that a handicapped fireman, a white handicapped fireman, who took his own money, I think $1,000, and went and got special tutoring, passed the exam with the highest mark of any of those black or white or Hispanic who took the exam. I think that is the model we need to use.
And last question for you, Mr. Innes. I don't know how closely you're following the Supreme Court nomination, but this decision reverses an appeals court decision, including Sonia Sotomayor. How do you think this ought to impact her nomination, if at all?
Well, I hope it doesn't impact it. I mean, she voted in the majority in the appeals court. She wasn't alone. She did not write the decision. Four of the nine justices in the Supreme Court agreed with her position. Judge Bader agreed with her position, along with three other, so that she's not off base by much. She was wrong. I think she should have ruled the other way, and she should have repeated Sandra Day O'Connor's warning coming from the Richmond affirmative action case.
Well, Mr. Innes, it's a very significant story, and we thank you very much for taking time out of your day to be with us.
Thank you.
Roy Innes is the national chairman at the Congress of Racial Equality. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. Thank you, sir, very much.
Thank you.
Have a great day.
All right.
He's an old man.
Where is he from?